Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is time for our regular weekly visit. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We saw him right there in the front row asking a question of Bill Belichick, beating him down with the might of your rhetoric. Good job, Tom.
Oh, thanks, Dale. We've been at it for years. It's nothing noteworthy as far as I'm concerned, but it is the American Football Conference Championship Week, so we do have a higher level of attention on it.
Do you think? Mm-hmm. All right, so explain to me then why, and I don't want to go too deep into the weeds on this, why are we on such a SpongeBob kick today on Twitter?
Oh, somebody mentioned how James Harrison lauded Tom Brady, and I finally, for some reason, realized that Tom Brady is SpongeBob. He is the happiest employee. He gets so many Golden Spatula Awards. He's always there on time, ready to go, cheering people up. And if you can cheer up James Harrison, who I imagine had some Squidward tendencies to him, you are SpongeBob. And if you go right on down the line, I think that Patrick Starr would probably be Gronk, and or Larry the Lobster would be Gronk. I actually think that Belichick is Gary the Snail, SpongeBob's pet snail. But I think we've gone too far afield already.
I would love to play along, but outside of a couple of memes and GIFs, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I will.
Well,
there's a lot
of a certain age. My kids were of a certain age,
okay,
where I watched every episode of SpongeBob. So I'm a SpongeBob Bugs Bunny guy, because Bugs Bunny.
Oh, I love Bugs Bunny. Yeah. That's good stuff.
So.
No, I hear you. No, and I'm, you're speaking to a lot of the audience, I'm sure. I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm sure a lot of people love the analogy, and they'll play with it all day long. You can do it on Twitter, at Tom E. Curran. Tom, 3 months ago, these teams faced each other in the regular season. Week 6, there's certainly guys for the Patriots that didn't play who will play, and vice versa, and then also for Kansas City. How much do you think you can take that Week 6 game as you prepare for this game coming up on Sunday?
I think you can take it in saying, okay, now we know exactly how far Patrick Mahomes can throw the ball that we didn't know previously. There was the play, the Kareem Hunt touchdown, where Mahomes rolled to his left early in the second half. Patriots had the game in control. I think it was 24-6 at the time. Mahomes rolled to his right, bubbled, as Jason McCourty termed it, and when a guy bubbles, meaning fades back during the roll, he's not going to be able to throw it as far. So McCourty stopped chasing Kareem Hunt, thinking a run might be coming, and he threw it right over his head. That you've learned. Devin McCourty realized in trail position on the 22-yard touchdown pass to Hill that you're meat if you allow yourself to get into trail position, because you're not going to catch up to him when the ball's in the air the way you can with so many other guys. So you have the physical stuff. Then you also have tendencies to base things on. What I think is interesting that's different is I thought, when I looked at the numbers, that the Kareem Hunt drop-off to Damian Williams would be significant, especially in the passing game. It's not. They still throw it to him. I just don't think they throw it as deeply to him.
Hmm. When we looked at Tom Brady throughout the course of the second half of the regular season, it was clear to many of us that he was not at 100% physically, even though publicly he would deny that. What the guy I saw play Sunday against the Chargers looked as close to a physically 100% Tom Brady as we've seen in a long time.
Didn't you see that somewhat against the New York Jets in the finale, though?
It was better, but I thought Sunday was better even more after the bye week. I think he was almost 100%.
I agree. But coming out of the Jets game, there was that sequence where he overthrew Hogan, then stood in and took a hit while throwing to Hogan. And then on the next play, he rolled right and threw the touchdown pass on the dead run, pretty much, to Philip Dorsett. I said, that's all I need to see. We can now officially stop talking about an MCL that healed weeks ago and move on. I think he's more willing to stand in, which is really a byproduct of Tom Brady management, of his personal brand and corporation. There's times during that Pittsburgh game, you know, I talked to him about that after that game, about falling away. He said, look, I wasn't going to end the game with the ball in my hand, meaning wasn't going to take a sack. So, you know, the week before, he had ended the half with the ball in his hand. He just wasn't going to repeat that. So I think a lot of things that we – a lot changes as the season goes along, and the guys around him are healthier too, I think, Dale. Not to say you're wrong on the Tom stuff, but I think that the guys around him are healthier too, and that had a huge, huge impact on Sunday.
I mean, Edelman, I think, definitely had his best game of the year. Do you think Kansas City like the Chargers really didn't make adjustments? And when they did, it was certainly far too late. But can a team watch a tape one week and see whatever it was, 30-something passes thrown just to James White and Julian Edelman, and then not be overly prepared for that? Like, wouldn't that be right now the main two things that you would take away from the Patriots?
I personally, no. I would, if I'm Bob Sutton, I would take whatever the Patriots tried to do to me and go to school on it. Because what the Patriots did to the Chargers was what they did to the Falcons, was what they did to Seattle. So it was scheme-based as opposed to team-based. Whatever it is Bob Sutton tries to do generally, and he was the Jets defensive coordinator and linebackers coach throughout the Rex Ryan era. So he's got familiarity. I just don't think he has the horses that he had, especially early on with the Jets. So they're screwed.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? I mean, their defense is just not good enough. But you say they're screwed. They're also at home, and the Patriots have been a bad road team.
They have. And we can go back to AFC Championship games and say, well, they've also been bad on the road in AFC Championship games.
Right.
I think the running game is much better right now. They've also been bad on the road if we single out those games. Why did they suck against the Steelers? Was the last week of Josh Gordon. He was mentally starting to check out a little bit. They had 15 penalties, and they played poorly. They tried to establish a running game, and penalties kept backing them out of it. Why did they lose the game in Miami? Stupidity. Outright, utter stupidity. The other games, Tennessee, personnel-related, I think, and also got caught with their pants down scheme-wise. And then they just were a crap team against Jacksonville and Detroit at that juncture of the season. I think this is different now because the health is better. They've settled on a secondary rotation that they like. The health is better. They have a better understanding of how they can run the ball. Their health is better.
What about the health? I've heard you mention this health thing. What about Gronk?
Everything.
Is Gronk a lot healthier?
When you watch him in the running game the other day, and he's pitter-pattering, and, you know, before he makes the first block, and then, you know, foot fires, and then gets to the next block, he's just a different player than he had been, you know, even in the Kansas City game.
Right.
You know, when he had those three long, he didn't get the ball until the end of the game, and that's why he's on the field at the end of the game saying to Brady, thanks for trusting me.
Yeah.
That's when Brady's like, yeah, of course, forever, man.
Right.
Weather obviously is one of the big storylines for most of us here. The latest forecast that we saw on NFL Network a few minutes ago said game time temperature of 8 feels like -1. Patrick Mahomes, reportedly the coldest game he's ever played in was last Sunday. This will be worse. Brady has obviously played in some cold games. Is there any advantage in that regard just because Patrick Mahomes has never faced this before?
I think the advantage becomes, who can run the ball more effectively? Who has, you know, a better meat and potatoes type of offense? And I think the Patriots have shown that they can game than Kansas City, which is more downfield. So I think as opposed to it being quarterback v. quarterback and who's got the advantage, I think it's style versus style. Now, maybe Mahomes is able to get guys on skates and buy even more time for himself with his scrambling. But I also think it's hard to throw downfield regularly in that kind of weather while it's easier to throw short. And, I mean, like you said, that was the coldest that Mahomes has played in last week. Brady probably has 15 to 20 of these games over the course of his career, regular season and postseason, where you'd say, I don't want to go outside to even check the mailbox.
Which team, I mean, obviously we just saw the Patriots destroy the Chargers, so maybe it's a little hard to answer this, but which team going into the game did you think was a tougher matchup for them, the Chargers or the Chiefs?
I would think the Chiefs, just because they played so well against Indianapolis the day before.
Yeah.
Seemed to rectify some things, did very well on third down. But again, you go to that Chiefs-Colts game, and say, wow, they were great on third down. They were great against the running game with Marlon Mack. the way that Andrew Luck played, and I tweeted this at the end of that game, if Brady put together a performance like that, a physical performance like Andrew Luck did, couldn't get the ball to the hash marks, never mind the sidelines, he would have been, people would have demanded his retirement before Monday. So they played poorly, the Colts did. The magic dust wore off. They couldn't run the ball. I'm curious to see if Dee Ford and Justin Houston can come screaming off the edge and be factors in the running game the way they were against Indianapolis, because they had no worries about any, like, jet motion, missile motion, whatever you call it. But if you start doing that, then those guys have to stay home, and they can't be factors in the running game.
The Patriots are playing the disrespect card as well as anybody since Rodney Harrison left here. Are they believing some of the stuff that they're saying, do you think, within the walls of the locker room?
1,000%. I mean, I would generally, I think, Dale, be considered a Patriot-friendly in the media. And I've been writing for 18 months about bills are coming due, everybody's grabbing their coats, you know, Gronk might retire, he looked like an old dog, not really wanting to chase the ball coming off the couch. Asking Tom Brady in the locker room about why he was falling away from throws. And I'm a guy who tries to, you know, at least be circumspect when questioning these guys. So, yes, I think they are entirely entitled to, after an 11-5 season when they had no run defense to speak of and got their asses kicked on the road, to say, told you we were still pretty good. Don't you agree? Do you think it's oversold that they're playing that disrespect card?
No, well,
yeah, Tom Brady saying everybody says we suck,
but that's
show
not
me,
true.
Show me somebody who does.
Yeah, that's not true.
Who says that?
I say go for it.
Competitors.
Use whatever you want, but it's not true though.
5 clicks down the dial.
No, but they were Vegas favorites, and every caller we talked to picked them. Most media members picked them. They didn't all pick them to cover the spread, but a lot of media members picked them to win.
I picked them 20-17. Half the time I picked them, yeah, so I don't have to listen to the bull crap the week after when they win.
It just beat you down. Well, even the people that are further away from it, like radio hosts and people that are just on TV and don't go down to Foxborough, I think a lot of people picked them to win because they were at home. Now, this week, I think there's going to be a lot more people picking the Chiefs. So if they want to do a walk-off interview and say, yeah, nobody thought we were going to do this, fine. But I love it. Like, use whatever you want to motivate you, but factually, it's incorrect to say that people think we suck.
No, it's not. But it is. If people think we suck, I think he can refer to that relative to how they've been. When 90%, and I would, that's probably not even hyperbole, when 90% of the conversation centered around the Patriots through the 2018 season has been, what's wrong with the Patriots? Can they fix it? I think that it's okay for the perception within the team to be, people think we suck.
Well, they still haven't proved that they don't suck on the road. So if people say that, are they allowed to say it? But they haven't done anything yet. That's what I'm saying. If they win this Sunday, I think it makes more sense than, you know, a walk-off win at home where you have a crazy record in the divisional round, yep, especially at home and all of that. I think people weren't surprised that they won, and that's what it sort of comes across as.
Well, I think they were surprised at the way. I don't think anybody wasn't, but that's, we all understand that.
You're right. No, nobody thought the game was going to be over at halftime. I'm with you on that. But the team who was moving on, I think a lot of people saw that coming.
Yeah, they are going to go into a situation where they could rightly be, you know, it's a surprise. They're 1-4 on grass this year, and I know that that's part of being on the road, but I think the grass is part of the issue too. They have lost repeatedly at Kansas City. So I think that all of those things are fair, but I just think that one thing that needs to be underlined, circled, and highlighted is that the teams that lost in 06, 13, and 15 were unbelievably diminished by injury to the point where, whether it's Eric Alexander in 06 chasing Dallas Clark fruitlessly, whether it's Logan Mankins and Brian Stork getting overwhelmed in 2013, whether it's...
That was the Mulligan-Slater game too, right?
Yeah, or it's 2015 with Steven Jackson lining up
right
at tailback when you are going against the best defense in Denver. It's not going to look that way on Sunday, or it should not, because there are no injuries, and plus you lost Tlaib. There are no injuries right now that you can say, wow, they're really screwed because of that.
So do you already have your hotel room for Atlanta?
Yeah, but we go either way because NBC Sports Boston gives you wall-to-wall coverage of the National Football League. Anyway.
All right, thank you.
Well done, Tom.
But it sounds like you think you're going to be covering the Patriots in that game.
I think it's good. Yeah, I think the Patriots will win. I do think the Patriots will win.
You just don't want to hear about it on Monday.
that was San Diego. That was the Chargers game.
Okay.
That was 20-17 Patriots. Boy, could go either way. And then if somebody bothered me at Dunkin' Donuts, I'd say, I don't like it.
Tom, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, boys.
See ya.
Thank you.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.